This is an interview with Clay Edwards. Clay is an audit manager that I hired and trained at J.M. Huber, and we worked together for about 4 years. And he then went on to take on audit director positions in a couple of other companies.
I really enjoyed working with you. Even though you were my boss, I thought you were more of a colleague and a trusted source I could go to at any time. You really helped me a lot explaining that doing a good audit and getting an audit report out that's going to pass its way through management is two different things. You constantly said I was a good auditor, but I needed to be able to phrase things and word them in such a way that it could get through the many layers there at Huber that reviewed them. It was an obstacle course with legal and then the CFO wanting to look at them first, as well as the CEO, being able to convey the issues in such a way that, number one, you wouldn't sacrifice any integrity on the audit, but that it could get through all those layers was a real challenge. That, as well as being able to focus on the key risks, because an auditor can always go out and find things, but what's going to really benefit the business? You got to really look, find, and hone in on the control weaknesses that are going to have an impact if they're not fixed right away. I constantly noticed that you took a lot of pressure and hits just to make sure that the correct audits were performed. You took a keen interest in focusing where the risks were, not where we could get an easy audit report out the door. You were always willing to step in there and say, no, we're going to go there and we're going to have my guys do it. I also learned that a chief audit executive's job isn't merely just doing the audits, but managing the executive relationship. And you helped me quite a bit in my career in that way. I still had years to go, I thought, before I would assume this type of a role, but it comes a lot sooner than you think. As I was doing audits, you provided a lot of encouragement and patience as I developed, and you gave me the opportunities I needed so that I could assume this. I often look back and think of how you handled these difficult situations. Well, before you took the helm, there was absolutely no audits that had been performed for about 10 months. In fact, there wasn't even an internal audit department to speak of. You rebuilt a department ground up. You recruited experienced auditors, and the thing I really learned from that experience was you brought in people that you knew had confidence to go out and do the job, but thus would enable them to work well together, supported each other. There wasn't any backbiting or backstabbing among us. We all worked to get things done, and we'd call each other when we were out in the field, and if we needed help, we'd go on the road and help each other. And I think you just really showed what a good, cohesive internal audit group can do to help the company. A couple things come to mind right away. One of the biggest is our constant focus on the hedging activity in oil and gas. It was a high-risk area, and you encouraged a couple of us to go out and become certified investments and derivatives auditors, which would lend credibility to our reports. The company started taking our suggestions much more seriously. A couple other things that come to mind was a revenue cycle audit we did in the minerals division, where we saved over $25 million, finding lost revenue and product that wasn't billed correctly. On the heels of that one, we did a freight audit in the minerals division, and we saved even more money because we uncovered a lot of double billings and ineffective use of freight, and we saved the company over $30 million there. So in two audits in one division, we saved the company about $55 million. I remember you were instrumental in putting in a lot of fraud controls in the wood division because they'd had some really bad experience with fraud there. It was hard to quantify because the magnitude of the fraud that we did find down there was over $1 million, and I've got to believe that countless other millions were saved with the controls that you put in down there. I think you really brought a focus to that, where you wanted to focus on the high-risk areas. We did a risk assessment, and it wasn't just a one-time, once-a-year risk assessment. It was an ongoing risk assessment. As the business changed and the drivers changed and processes changed, we would reevaluate where the control breakdowns could occur, and then we might massage or change the annual audit plan to take that into account. One thing that you brought to the department was presidents.
Right.
The different divisions, they started asking for audit to come in and help them with special projects and things. It's more than a compliment. It means that audit's successful if we're viewed as a resource. The Huber Fellow Program that they instituted, and they would take out some of the best and brightest every 18 months and put them in audit for us to train. Their theory being that if people see the details, that they'll make better managers. It was a great success. We enjoyed working with them, and their time in audit was well spent. We made sure that they got the experience they needed. It's important to work with all layers of management when you're in audit, not just the people that you need to get the information from at the bottom rungs of the food chain, but also every step all the way up. All these individuals and all these different managers at different layers have some contribution to the control environment. If they get left out or they're not in the loop, then it's just not going to go as smooth as it possibly can, and they may push back on some of the recommendations that are needed. It took us a little longer sometimes, but it actually gave the business an opportunity to remediate and fix the problem areas while the report was going through. Probably the biggest thing is the need for an adherence to controls has to come from the top down if a company is going to have a successful control environment. So it has to be sold to the highest layers, and they have to actively participate in steering committees and other things like that. And they have to communicate down to their direct reports that this is important and they want to get the job done. Controls are absolutely necessary. People don't want to do them. They view them as a hindrance until they really realize how they benefit them and they protect them. So there has to be an education going on from audit to the process owners. Once that education takes hold, it just becomes so much easier. Like right now at Interpool, we have a ongoing control monitoring process. Every quarter, the process owners will review their controls. We send them a document. If there's any changes, then they update them right then and there. And so we've actually pushed the ownership of the controls onto the business owners, which is where it belongs all along. And we do have top-level management involved, which is a big help to all of us. I left Huber, where we worked together. I left there in April of 2004. And from there, I went to a company called the Outsourcing Partnership, later changed their name to Acume Partners, from April of 2004 to May of 2005. I was there 1 year as a senior audit manager. Coming into the company, they gave me their largest client, a company called Checkpoint Systems, down in southern New Jersey. And it was their first year of SOX, and they needed someone to get them over the SOX goal line. And they had 50 international locations, 9 of which were within the SOX scope. So I had to put together teams to do SOX audits at all these locations and then lead them. And we actually were able to get them across the finish line with no material weaknesses their first year. From there, I was offered a position as vice president of internal audit at a company called Interpool. They're about a $400 million lessor of chassis and containers, intermodal shipping equipment. Coming into this company, we had 9 material weaknesses. And I was able to get them all remediated and establish a new audit department within 2 years with 9 material weaknesses, all of which were incredibly difficult. 3 of them were IT related. The other 6 were all financial. And the company had no controls, no process documentation, no nothing. And these material weaknesses actually stemmed from the pre-SOX era in which significant deficiencies were listed in the externals reports. And they just kind of rolled all those significant deficiencies into material weaknesses. We went from 9 in the first year down to 6 and then to 0 in year 2. It wasn't just a challenge in that the company didn't have processes in place and didn't know what controls were. We had a really, really bad external provider that we co-sourced with. And their goal was to see things remain in a state of confusion because they could continue billings for who knows how long. And it was difficult because the CEO had brought him in. He was on a board of another company where they were working, and so he brought him in. The CFO kind of liked him, as did some of the other senior people. It was very hard to constantly go to these meetings, explain what was going on and why that we needed to make a change. And once we made the change, things changed dramatically. We got experienced people, all of who had served as directors in audit before, so they knew what controls were. And we remediated everything within 2 years. It's a great career and a great profession, and you can definitely make a positive contribution to your company if you do it with the right attitude. I think that you definitely would want to bring Tom Damon in and talk to him and see his experience and what he can do for your company. He certainly trained several of us. Every one of us is out here running our own audit shop now. We look back to what we learned with Tom as being instrumental in doing the job that we're doing now.